This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bruce Springsteen has long stood for the working class, social justice, and progressive values. But not everyone hears the same message when the guitar kicks in. From Donald Trump playing Born in the USA at rallies to conservative fans feeling alienated by Springsteen's political views, the relationship between celebrities and their audiences is more complicated than ever. So what happens when your favourite artist doesn't align with your politics, or when their message is louder than you thought? To help us unpack all of this, we're joined once again by our resident media and politics expert, Associate Professor Lauren Rosebourne from the University of Melbourne.
Gender, sexuality, and pop culture. There isn't much Lauren Rosebourne doesn't know, and if she doesn't, we'll make it up.
Lauren, welcome back to Joy Drive.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me, Latham.
It's great to chat with you once again. I loved the conversation with you, and also too, like, there's lots of podcasts that we have on the Joy Drive website and throughout wherever you get your podcasts, with lots of great stories and great information that you're able to present. So I encourage our listeners to go along onto our website and check those out.
Excellent. Sounds like a plan.
Anyway, let's get into the topic at hand. Lauren, there's an article that was written where it paints a very vivid picture of Bruce Springsteen's complicated relationship with some of his fans. What stood out to you most, and what's this article about?
Yeah, so basically this article, or at least it's discussing a phenomenon that we've been seeing play out in the media for the past week, is Donald Trump publicly denouncing Bruce Springsteen. Now, you wonder, why are these two men in their 70s having a go at each other? And this seems to date back to a recent concert. Bruce Springsteen's on tour in the UK, and he was in Manchester, and he made a comment that about Trump, saying he was corrupt, incompetent, and treasonous. Now, Trump can't let things go.
No, he cannot.
Absolutely. This is not, you know, there's no take the high road, dignified approach. This isn't Trump's style. So Trump has been saying a variety of things. He's called Bruce Springsteen highly overrated, dumb as a rock, a communist, pushy, obnoxious. He also tweeted about 12 hours ago a video of himself hitting a golf ball and intersplicing it with a video of Bruce Springsteen falling down on stage. So it looks like Trump hit the golf ball and it hit Bruce Springsteen. So this is in line with a lot of Trump, for whether you like him or loathe him. He's his own pop culture figure, but he also is very into popular culture. And someone of Bruce Springsteen's esteem, I think, gets under Trump's skin. The fact that they've been, you know, diametrically opposed in their politics for decades, I think, even though Trump's won now, he's got his victory, he still can't have someone of Bruce Springsteen's profile publicly criticizing him.
It seems so childish, this reaction from the President of the United States, that this is the kind of stuff that he's focused on, is about, you know, popular culture.
And taking not only it seriously, because that, I guess, anyone could take offence to Bruce Springsteen's comments, but then to waste time tweeting it and fixating on it. I think it's the fixation that I find so fascinating. It's very revealing, I think, about Trump's psyche and how easily wounded he is, which I think is one of those, I always think back to Hillary Clinton's campaign, and there was lots of conservative accusations that women can't be leaders because they're too emotional. Now, Donald Trump is held hostage to his emotions all the time, yet no one considers, or at least the criticisms of him tend not to lie in him being too emotional, I suppose, because there's plenty of other things to criticize. But he's far more emotional than we ever see women politicians. It's an interesting stereotype of how he's rebranded emotionality and convinced himself it's a sign of strength.
Yeah, it is so strange. Anyway, well, that's the world we're living in at the moment. Coming back to, like, the Bruce Springsteen, like, and his political, like, advocating his political points of view, do you think it's fair or even realistic that we expect artists to be politically neutral?
Look, they can be politically neutral, of course, but there's a cost to being politically neutral. And I think Taylor Swift, my thoughts go to her when we talk about this, because that's someone who, for nearly 10 years of her career, never took a political stance. And her fans eventually started to take umbrage with that, that they felt that if you're not with us on the issues that are important to us, us being your fan base, then we can't continue to be put our emotions into you. So you saw her sort of very gently take a variety of political stances, be it pro-choice. She eventually endorsed Biden, and then she endorsed Harris. Now, that came at a bit of a cost to her, because her career started with country music, so there's lots of conservatives who had been Taylor Swift fans, and she took a loss on a number of those. But her fans basically pushed her into her positions. Not that she didn't privately hold those positions. I'm not trying to imply I think she was disingenuous, but taking a public stance, my thoughts go to Michael Jordan, the basketballer, who had a comment about why he doesn't speak about politics, and it was basically a comment, I'm going to butcher the paraphrasing, but it was basically Republicans buy sneakers too. And that position had historically been the way lots of celebrities handled their politics. They were quiet about it. But social media, I think, has really changed the game, and there's now an expectation, and I think Trump's kind of being, because he's such a divisive figure, has forced a lot of celebrities to, take a stance and articulate your positions.
Yeah, that's Trump's inspired this, but is it a good thing? That's the question, I guess.
And the good thing is, again, how do we measure good? Yeah. Because Taylor Swift didn't get Donald Trump, or didn't make Kamala Harris win, right? So her endorsement wasn't enough. In fact, Democrats generally always have more celebrity endorsements than Republicans. So when we asked, does it matter? I think in Taylor Swift's case, you could actually argue that there was more of a loss for her, because she, endorsed a losing candidate and lost a lot of fans. Now, you might say, well, that was still the moral position to take if you believe that. Sure. But again, was it worth it for her?
Is it a bit of that, like, tall poppy syndrome? Like, we have that sort of notion here in Australia, but do you think that translates over in America as well? That it's like, well, someone who, of her status, like people who are... there's a lot of disadvantage in America, and the gap between the haves and the have-nots is just growing exponentially, that they see her as some sort of privileged celebrity, and therefore that she does not represent or reflect their lives. And when she came out supporting Kamala Harris, it was seen, she doesn't understand us, and therefore that affected her. Is that a...
Yeah. Yeah. Look, I mean, this is something that both of Trump's campaigns were hinged on, is this idea of the populist message, the idea to appeal to the every man in the US, and that really translated disproportionately to the working class, is by saying these celebrities are out of touch. They are the elites. And this idea of the elites, even though this is the man with the gold toilet saying this, so it's always been a confusing message, but nonetheless, he's convinced his supporters that he's somehow separate from the elites, even though he's a self-described billionaire. He's not the elites, but that the Democrats are the party for the elites. And that messaging, even if we think it's a bit problematic and confused, I mean, just because celebrity endorsements go to the Democrats doesn't mean it's an elite party. Nonetheless, there has been a shifting of allegiances with the two-party system, where now you have more educated people going for Democrats and poorer people going for Republicans. And that was never the case originally. But that swap has been because of Trump's populist message and the success of critiquing people like Bruce Springsteen and Taylor Swift by saying they don't know, they're not buying eggs or don't care that eggs cost this much money, their lives are not mirroring yours, even though Trump is endorsing policies such as massive tax cuts that only benefit the elites. It's a confused message, and yet his supporters seem to find it palatable for mysterious reasons.
Yeah, I mean, I have a theory that it kind of speaks to their education system, but that's another conversation for another day.
Education system, but also in prejudices as well. Yeah. And I think that that's where a lot of this will end up coming down to. Is it really economic policy driven that make people vote the way they do, or are there other things culturally going on? And I think it might be a bit more of the latter.
Good point. Good point. What advice would you give fans navigating that moment when they realise their hero doesn't share their worldview?
Look, this is for me an ongoing thing of, do you separate the art from the artist, and can you? And I often think about this in that, you know, there's some artists who've recently said some things that conflict with my own views on world politics, for example. And right now it feels quite difficult for me to listen to their music. I think, though, for older artists who, let's say, their footprint has already been made on the music sphere, on the pop culture landscape, people like Michael Jackson, Morrissey, for an example. I think some of these figures, they may still be problematic, but it's a little different because their music is old. They're not producing Michael Jackson certainly isn't producing new music, that there's an element there of understanding that they've made an indelible imprint on popular culture, as opposed to me having to decide, do I buy a new album from a problematic artist? So for me, my guiding principle is, do I want to give these people money? And that will depend on their infraction. There'll be some stuff that I don't really care about. Then there'll be big ticket items where I so disagree with what they've said or done, I can't give them any more money. And I think we'll all probably have our own set of principles as to which offences offend us. Yeah. More than others.
Yeah, a good observation and really good insight and good advice, actually, Terry. Yeah. What's our barometer? What is our line in the sand to go, absolutely not, they've crossed that line? And as you say, it's individual. So someone's
moral compass. It really is, because there'll be...
Yeah, moral compasses are very different.
Yeah, and there's certain issues that I just think are going to be more important than others. For example, I think some of the Me Too sensitivities or allegations will disproportionately interest women. That doesn't mean only women care, but they will be more of interest to women fans, and I think they may judge them more harshly than male fans who perhaps are more willing to either not be as impassioned or compartmentalise it.
Yeah. Well, Lauren, thank you so much for your insight once again and helping us
always
zoom out.
Always a delight.
Yes, it's
thank
some
you
interesting
for having me.
Yeah, it's interesting thoughts there, something that I'll be definitely pondering on my way home.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.